Thank you, Jenna and choir. Now, the one mind, when you're down to the last song before I have to get up there, and I'm still making notes because I'm getting inspired by the music, it's not a good sign.
It's a great sign.
It's a great sign, yeah.
Well, welcome. Thank you all for coming out. Welcome to the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living. Thank you for coming out, and even though it is a somewhat gray day, as we said in the meditation, we know that behind those clouds, there is that beautiful sun. So thanks for coming out on this sunny, sunny day. The title of my talk today is, Here's the Deal. Well, all this month, we have been talking about transformation and really what is transformation but change, and trying to follow the kind of guidelines that they put out for us to go by for the sermons. And sometimes they're a real stretch. Those are tough. This week wasn't too bad, but the name that they came up with, Dealing with Conditions. And I thought, you know, if I put out Dealing with Conditions in the ADN, that is not going to be enough to draw Shirley May away from the bedside Baptist. So I thought, at least we'll come out with, Here's the Deal. And here is what the deal is. What the deal is today is we're going to talk about change and changing the conditions in our lives. Changing conditions. I have three major points. The first is, our job on this earthly plane is to look at the conditions in our lives through the eyes of God. Number two, prayer is more effective when we are aligned with God's vision for our highest potential. And thirdly, our philosophy and theology is filled with overwhelming evidence of the power of thought to change the conditions in our world. First of all, our job on this earthly plane is to look at conditions with the eyes of God. If we just back up a minute and kind of think this through. First of all, I think that most of us can recognize that there is a power in the universe. And it really doesn't make any difference what name we assign to it. God, Spirit, the thing itself, Yahweh, the Tao, whatever name you choose to assign to it, I think we can, at least most of us, can agree that there is some type of a power in the universe. And I submit that we use this power whenever we think. That is, our thoughts are creative. If we are thinking good, positive thoughts, we tend to have good, positive outcomes. If, on the other hand, we are having somewhat negative thoughts, we get to experience that as well. Now, we don't always control how our thoughts go. When the guy cuts me off in traffic, my thoughts stray to that which is not positive. And I'll bet I'm not the only one. And we all have times when our thoughts are not in the positive vein and are less than positive or somewhat negative. The two biggest times that I think that we can run into that is through worry and regret. Worry is nothing but focusing all of our attention, all of our creative energy is going into that which we don't want. And the second is regret. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. All we're doing is laying the foundation to create more of it. So our job then, if we are going to this earthly plane is to look at conditions with the eyes of God. It's to move away from worry and regret and go to that which we want. We co-create when we speak from a place of connection to God. Number two, the prayer is more effective when we are aligned with God's vision for our highest potential. Abraham Lincoln was once advised by one of his close advisors during the Civil War, something to the effect of, Mr. President, you can have complete faith that the Lord is on our side. But Abraham Lincoln's response, I am not at all concerned about that, for I know that the Lord is always on the side of right. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation are on the Lord's side.
Yes.
And so what does he mean by that? What is the Lord's side? What is the Lord's side? The Lord's side is all of the things that we can identify that we know that are in the divine realm. Truth, beauty, peace, love. And so when we are aligned with truth, beauty, love, compassion, then we are on the Lord's side. And that can be our prayer, is that we are on the side of love. Ernest Holmes used to speak of the fire and the technique. And out of our sacred reading today, there he goes, he said, prayer is not just what we do, it is also who we are. In the end, it matters not whether we say thee or thou or hey you. In prayer, it is the attitude of our heart that counts. And it is that attitude of heart. And I submit, and I'm probably blaspheming up here again, I don't know. We teach about we've got to go through the five steps of treatment. And that's all well and good. I think the things that we teach in our classes and whatnot are really good training wheels. But I think the real essence of that is what's in our heart. One of the notes I wrote when we did it in our song this morning, love is my decision. That is a powerful, powerful prayer. Love is my decision. No, it probably doesn't follow the five steps and get you a good mark in some class. But it's a powerful, powerful prayer. Thank you, Jenna, as always. In his book, Now is the Time, George Bendall wrote, the secret is not so much in what we say, it is in how convinced we are that the words that we speak are true. I was looking for a story to tell today, and I had really hoped that I could tell an Alaskan type kind of a story, and as most of you know, we've been babysitting this little yellow Labrador puppy, and she gets into a lot of trouble. And she came dragging out this magazine. And it's Mysterious Ways. About half my stories come out of Mysterious Ways. But this came out of September of 2013. And the little yellow puppy drugged me this book. So I wanted something Alaskan, but okay, we'll see what it is. Maybe this is the divine's way of giving me an inspiration. So I open it up, and there is a picture, the first story, of an orca. And this story is about a lady by the name of Eva Solaitis.
Oh.
Good. I was really hoping that. I think that, you know, there's a good chance that some of us do know her.
She's from Homer.
She and her husband, marine biologists, they study whales. And the story, this is 2013, remember, when this was written. And so this had gone to publishing, August, September. So it probably went around April or May is when that would have closed to go to publishing. But it was a powerful story of her journey with cancer. She was back east and she felt a lump, and she went to the doctor and had it checked out, and she was diagnosed with stage 4, I believe, breast cancer. excuse me. She went through surgery. She was in chemo. They did everything that they could to fight it, and she was involved in that fight. She was living in her sister's attic back in Boston. And for those of you who have gone through chemo, you get or at least from my experience, my observation of it is, you can get a mental fugue, you get kind of confused and stuff. And she was in that state in the room, and she was in her bed, and she was kind of drifting in and out of a conscious state. And she had a dream, but a very, very real dream about being back in Prince William Sound with the things that she absolutely loved the most. The sound, the whales, being out there with her husband, and this pod of orcas that they had been following had a matriarch, if you will. She's the oldest, wisest, mature whale, female whale of the pod. Chiniga was her name. And she was also the one who was very, very wise. They could never tag her, because as soon as a boat would come around, Chiniga was gone. And in this dream, Eva was out in her kayak, and she was kayaking through one of their favorite places, and Chiniga appeared and came up right next to her. And in this dream fugue-like state, she put out her hand, and she felt the orca come right next to her. She felt her hand touch the cold, rubbery feeling that is of the whale that came by, and she touched it. And when she touched it, she felt this almost an electric shock of power and love surge through her and came into her body in that moment. And it was such a powerful experience when she kind of became more aware of her surroundings and everything. She was going to call her husband and relay that to us, but instead she got a call, a sat phone call from her husband, and he said, "You wouldn't believe what happened. We were just out here, and who showed up but Chiniga? And she came right up next to the boat, and she was jumping and right around the boat, and I was able to get a tag in her. And if you go into your laptop right now and open this up, I think you can track her." And so she got on the laptop and she opened up and she looked, and sure enough, there was a blip, blip coming down Night Island Passage, and she's watching Chiniga move through Night Island Passage after the experience that she had just had. Eva was free of cancers, in total remission within 2 months. Powerful, powerful story. And it doesn't say whether she prayed or not. I happen to absolutely know and believe that she did, because in a book that she published later, there was a whole chapter on prayer. So I know she was a woman who was connected in prayer. Total remission of cancer. Third point, our philosophy and theology is filled with overwhelming evidence of the power of thought to change the conditions in our world. Every disease known to man, curable, you know, untreatable, either way, has had at least one miracle cure as to the result of prayer alone. A guy by the name of Dr. Frederick Bales was an associate of Ernest Holmes, and he was diagnosed with diabetes in his early 20s, type 1 diabetes. And in that day, in the early 20s, 1920s, that was a death sentence. Insulin hadn't been discovered at that point. But he had the readings of Judge Thomas Troward, and he read and he adopted those principles, applied those to his life, and he absolutely survived and thrived simply by reading Judge Thomas Troward and believing that he could be well. There are many, many, many examples right here at our center. In the opening, we talk about, you know, prayers and the prayer requests and all the ways that you can do a prayer request. We get weekly demonstrations of the power of prayer. You notice that our lovely Dawn isn't with us today. Week or 10 days ago, I'm not even sure, remember when it was, Dawn sent out a prayer request to the practitioners, saying that she was desirous of getting more stagehand jobs. She belongs to the stagehand union, and she loves doing the stagehand work. I think her work at the web is just something to keep her filled, what her really she's filled with that. Well, wow. I mean, she started getting call after call after call, and that's where she is now, is she's doing something down at the PAC, stagehand work. Yesterday, we had a celebration of life here, and I asked Don to officiate it and to do the work. And I want to thank the Harvey family for this beautiful flower arrangement that they left for us. This room was filled with flowers yesterday. I think we had over 80 people here, and it was filled with flowers. And it was such a joy to see Don step into that role. But prayer is great. It is wonderful. It absolutely works. We know this, but you have to do your part. You can pray. You can know that we live in an abundant universe. But you have to take action yourself. It may involve something like getting a job. Or you have to give the universe a way to provide that for you. It's not just going to show up in your checking account. Alaska, USA doesn't work that way. You have to do your part. And we had another example of that recently. We had the prayer flag auction, and what an event that is. I generally stay in the back. Made a mistake of waving. You don't want to do that if you don't want to buy a flag. Well, I'll just tell it like it is. I don't know how to make this fancy. And our teen leader, Kara, had a group of flags that she really, really liked. And she wanted to buy those and take them with her to college. She's headed off to Utah State in a few months, and she wanted to take those to she could hang them in her room and have a connection back to Alaska, to our center, to this experience. And so she was egging mom on to bid for those, but it finally just got too high and she lost out and she didn't get the flags that she wanted. So she, I don't know whether she said it or not, but Mom, Myrna, said something to me. Oh, you know, Kara didn't get the flag she wanted. Do you know who made those? And she wondered if we could get another, set of flags. And so I found out that Laurel Epps had made those flags. And I thought, oh, yeah, good old, she's a good sort. She'll make another set. But then I got busy and I didn't make the phone calls I was supposed to and it didn't happen. And then I got another call and Judy Wolf came in and Judy said, I got these flags at the flag auction, but I don't have a place to put them in my house. Would it be possible, could we put them up at the center somewhere if we could do that? And I got to thinking, oh, if we do this, we're going to end up sanctuary full of flags sooner or later, but okay, I'll think of something. Let me come up with something. And then it dawned on me. I said, do you have any idea who made those? And she said, yeah, it was Laurel Epps. Wait a minute, let's see. So what I'd kind of like to do now is, number one, to thank Laurel for making the flags to do that. And then I'd like to invite Judy up to present Kara. Come on, Kara. Oh, she loves to get up in front of everybody.
Don't do this.
Woo! Come back. Here you go.
I want to give this to you. But also, I think we should show this.
Yes.
Show everyone these lovely, lovely flags.
You've got to switch places. She's got to go that way.
All right. I'll go this way.
I need a stage hand.
And the then I'm going to give you this other one so you have plenty of flags that you are really covered. I was enamored by the birds. With you and enjoy your college experience.
Yeah. Thank you. My point in this is that prayers don't have to be for world peace and for, you know, ending hunger in the world or huge giant things. They don't have to be for huge things. They can be for ordinary, everyday things. They can be for the conditions in our lives, the conditions of missing out on a prayer flag. They can be for the condition of the ordinary, everyday things that throw us curves in our lives. And prayer absolutely works. And I invite you to step in and commune with the divine. In order to bring closure to this, an idea, what I needed to do was to connect with Eva and see just where she is. And so I Googled and I looked on this, and there was an article. This was January 20th of 2016, which was updated in July 1st. Charles Wolforth, he writes for ADN, and he wrote this powerful story. The title of it is Homer Writer Eva Solitis Gracefully Authored the Process of Her Death. Writer Eva Solitis composed her progress toward death as gracefully as one of her poems, right up to her last breath, which she breathed with her family at home in Homer on Saturday afternoon. She even wrote about helping to create her own coffin, a basket woven by family and friends from tree branches and other materials that they had contributed. This is what she wrote. What at first felt strange became natural, to be doing this weaving together of a casket, she wrote. It is what has been asked of us, of my family. It's what I've asked of them, and they have said yes. They have said yes to living my dying with me until I can turn off the trail for the last part of the journey, which can only be taken alone. You see, the prayer even worked through that. No, Eva didn't live. She didn't transcend life and living on this plane. But how she lived was dramatically changed. How she spent those last few months on this earthly plane were changed. The divine hand works in mysterious ways, in powerful ways. No, the death didn't change, but Eva changed, and how she approached it, and what she brought to us, the rest of us, her willingness to share her dying, her willingness to be that outward expression of God for all of us. We don't always see the whole picture in our finite minds. But Eva got a glimpse of something much, much larger. And so it is with an awareness of that glimpse of something much larger than we are that I invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me now in holding the congregation in love and light and in absolutely knowing that as we live and move and have our being on this earthly plane, that each and every one of us are expressions of the Most High. We are how that infinite intelligence, that divine creative force, can give expression to itself. It's how it can express, it can be, it can feel, it can live, it can move, it can hurt, it can cry. It does so through us. But along with that, we have all of the qualities of that divine creative force. We have within us all of the abundance and prosperity in the world. And so I just speak my word now for those that are facing the challenges of lack and limitation and a small bank account and a big bill, that there we do indeed live in a universe that supplies us with everything. And it is our attitude and how we approach it. We open ourselves up to an infinite supply of stagehand jobs. We open ourselves up to that which can sustain us and bring us to the goodness and the closeness and the touch of God. And I speak my word for those facing health challenges, knowing that none of us are going to escape this earthly plane, but knowing that as we do, we can do so in love and peace and joy and harmony. We can set aside everything else. And I speak my word now for those who are feeling separation. Separation from God. Separation from other human beings. We just know that behind the mean actions that sometimes we experience, the hurt, the separation, that we are all one. We are one. We are one expression of God. And so now I just give thanks. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God expressing through and as each and every one of us. I give thanks for each and every one of you here now. And so I just release this word to the working of law. I let it go. I let it be. And so it is.
So it is.
Thank you.